We are glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Aren't we so proud of these three graduates? Excellent. In case you don't know, my name is Chris. I'm the lead pastor here, and I'm just happy to see all the smiling faces in here. And even if you aren't a smiling face, I'm happy that you're here today at Redemption Church. You spend roughly 2,160 days in high school. Roughly. Y'all had perfect attendance, I'm sure, so y'all probably spent exactly that amount. That's around 12,960 hours. That's 700,077,600. I can't even contemplate that number. It's close to a million minutes in high school. And Jennifer, you graduated from college, and your degree, it called for like 100 hours. That's insane, but we all know that it took more time to graduate than that 100 hours. To do well in college, it is suggested that you give 3 hours per week to each individual class. So if you're taking like 5 to 10 classes in a semester, that is 30 weeks. That's like 30 hours each week. All right, so this adds up to a lot of time you three have put to go through school. We're so proud of you. I hope you know that it was time well spent. No one should ever take graduating for granted. It is an amazing commitment, and you have seen it through to completion. We're so proud. What you three have accomplished so far is important. But what happens from this point on, it's just as important. You have graduated. To graduate, to advance to a new level. That's the definition of graduation. To graduate is to advance to a new level. And you're headed off to do new things. You're headed off to tackle new goals. I want to tell you, before you decide what to do, everyone's going to ask you, so what are you going to do in life? What are you going to do? I'm going to help you out. Before you decide what to do, you need to decide who you will be. Don't just hurry off into new directions. Don't just hurry off into new jobs, into new relationships. Don't just hurry off into more education. Before you decide what to do, you need to decide who you will be. Leadership author Stephen Covey, in his book, 7 Habits of Highly Effective People, he urges us to begin with the end in mind. That's habit number 2. Begin with the end in mind. So, taking from that, let's just say this. It's very applicable. Before you start your next project, you should begin with the end in mind. Before you set off to your next school or your next education, begin with that end in mind. Before you just take the next job, you should think far in advance. You should think to the end where you're retiring. And think about these things. Begin with the end in mind. Think about and define the exact outcome you want. But this habit applies to more than projects. It applies to more than deadlines. It applies to more than to-do lists and business practice. It can be applied to your life as well. At the end of today, who do you want to be? How do you want to change by the end of today? Is there something in your life that you want to change? How are you going to do it? Who do you ultimately want to be for your family, for your friends? Who do you need to be for this community that is so in need of leadership? Stephen Covey suggests a funeral exercise, and none of us like to think about funerals. much less our own funeral. But he suggests to think about your funeral. He tells you to imagine you are somehow secretly attending your own funeral. And people have gathered to pay their final respects. Think about that moment for a moment, all over this house. Think about your funeral. At the end of your life, when it is all said and done, what do you want people to say about you? What do you want them to say who you were? Talk about thinking the beginning. Talk about beginning with the end in mind. You're thinking actually about that moment you've stepped off the earth and you're no longer here. That's pretty final. It's hard to find another ending past that one, right? That's an ending. Now, this exercise defines personal success like no other exercise. Think about it. At the end of your life, what do you want people saying about you? How about this? She always turned in her homework on time. Do you really want that said about you? I mean, that's not a bad thing. Or would you rather have someone say, she was kind and generous? She had an excellent GPA. Or would it be more valuable if they said they were incredibly trustworthy, they were honest, and they had my respect? How about this? He had a successful business. He had a knack for doing successful business. Or would you rather them say, he had many friends and family, and he was loved by so many people. Everyone that met him was changed. How about this? He won an award. Most of us in life are really big on that. Man, it would be so good if I just won an award, won something for my achievement. But would you rather have someone at your funeral say, I'm so glad that I knew them? Stephen Covey has met many people through this exercise, and this is what stands out to him over that time. Personal success is defined on who you are, not what you do. You are a graduate, and you're advancing to a new level. But don't just graduate to a new set of things to do. Don't just graduate to a new level of schooling. Don't just graduate to an increased list of responsibilities. Graduate into a new person. 2 Peter 3:18 says this, grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Many people get into trouble when they graduate to new levels of power, new levels of authority, position, wealth, influence. But they have not graduated to new levels of character. They have not graduated to new levels of discipline. You can get in trouble really big. You ever watch the news and you see someone, they were so successful and they wound up in amazing trouble. They wound up in a courtroom. They wound up in a jail cell, and you wondered, how did they get there? Well, let me tell you, they graduated to some things like power, wealth, and money, but they did not graduate to character. They did not graduate to morality. Those things, they never passed. Peter tells us to graduate. He tells you to grow to new levels of grace and knowledge. I want you to check out this scripture. 2 Peter 1:5. For this very reason, make every effort to add. Everyone said add. Add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge. So start with faith, then goodness, and then from what? Goodness, knowledge. So you're adding. I know you didn't want to go through math class this soon, but Peter's telling you to add. And he doesn't stop there. And to knowledge, you need to add self-control, verse 16. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness, verse 7. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, love. In the final verse of this, verse 8, for if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. What is he basically telling you? You need to graduate. And you need to keep graduating. You need to keep growing. You need to keep adding. It will change you in good ways. Israel stood at the River Jordan. They stood there. It's a small body of water, and it stood between them and their graduation. God had brought them to the precipice of a new level. The promised land that they all dreamed about was right across this river. And God had promised several times that He was going to give them this promised land. There was blessing across this river. There was wealth and influence across this river. Israel becoming an actual nation instead of just a ragtag group of nomads in the desert, that was laying on the other side of this river. The dreams of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were on the other side of this river. This was a big deal. But Israel didn't graduate. They stood at this river and they didn't cross it. Here's why. They looked across the river and they saw giants in the land. They looked across the river and they said, "Ooh, those guys are big." Here's what it says in Numbers 13 and 33. It says that we seem like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we look the same to them. They looked across that river. Instead of graduating, they looked at who they were and were found lacking. They looked at them. They looked across that river. And instead of graduating, they felt like grasshoppers. I want you to remember that personal success is defined on who you are. Lauren, Jennifer, Taylor, everyone in this room, your personal success, I don't know what definition you've been trying to live by, but I want you to know today, your personal success is defined on who you are and not what you do. They saw the giants and thought of themselves as grasshoppers. I want you to get this. They didn't see the giants and go, "You know what? That's going to be a tough battle." They didn't see the giants and say, "We're going to have a hard time doing this." They didn't go to doing. They went to who they were. They went right to being, and it defined them in that moment. There are times in life where you are going to stand at a River Jordan, and you're going to be focused to make a decision. You're going to be forced in that moment to make a decision, and you're going to be asking, can I face these giants? Or are you a grasshopper? Will you pursue your dream, or are you going to be a grasshopper? Will you be brave or a grasshopper? Grasshoppers don't graduate. Israel had a grasshopper mentality. It defined who they were, and it defined what they could do. This had to change before they could graduate to the next level. 40 years. Everyone said 40 years. Israel had seen God do a lot for them over the course of 40 years. That's how long they were in the wilderness, and they found themselves at the River Jordan. It wasn't just a few days they had been walking with God. It was 40 years. They saw God bring them a deliverer named, what was his name? Moses. They saw God do what in Egypt? He brought these. They saw that. They saw God bring amazing, miraculous plagues and deliver them. They saw this thing part, what was that? The Red Sea. They saw that, and they saw their captors. They saw the people that beat them and held them down for all those years. They saw them drowned in that Red Sea after they had walked across it. They saw in the wilderness that God showed up every day, and He fed them with manna, that's bread from heaven. He led them by a pillar of fire. There was a rolling rock. A rock that was rolling, check it out, the original rock and roll right there. And if that's not crazy enough, it followed them everywhere. And when they were thirsty, the water came out of the rock, enough water to give a million people water. And it followed them everywhere. That's in your Bible. Check it out. It's crazy. There was a glory cloud. Everywhere they went, God was with them. They had so many things happen in 40 years. I want you to know that they graduated to new experience in God. They saw God do stuff that we had never seen. Never seen before, never seen since. They graduated from slaves to free people. They graduated in experience, knowledge, and wealth. But they never graduated in courage. They never graduated in faith. Somehow they saw God do all this stuff, but they never graduated to the fact that God's going to do it again for us. I find that really sad. Maybe you're in this place and God has done amazing things for you, but you're standing at the River Jordan in your life and you're going, I don't think God's going to do it again. Wake up! You need to graduate. That's part of your graduation. You see, they were no longer slaves, but up here, they were still slaves. Grasshoppers don't graduate. Proverbs 23:7 tells us this. Tells us that as someone thinks about themselves, the way you think about yourself, that's the way you're going to become. You become the way you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So guess what? Think you're stupid? You will be. Think you can't do it? You won't do it. Think that no one likes you? It's not going to be very long until no one likes you. I want to encourage you to change your thoughts about yourself. All over this house, the biggest thing God wants you to change about yourself isn't that secret sin that you're hiding from everyone. The biggest thing He wants you to change about yourself is the way you think about yourself. Can I get an amen in the house? If you want to go to the next graduation level, you have to change your thoughts. And so Israel, they had wandered into the desert for 40 years. Guess what? They had to wander in the desert 40 more years before they had another opportunity to cross the River Jordan. 40 plus 40 is, come on, graduates. Graduates, you're worrying me. It's 80. Come on, guys. We have a no-work policy in the summer. All right. God doesn't call you to do. He calls you to be. Israel thought they couldn't do what God was asking them to do. Graduation isn't about something you do. It's about what you become. People that didn't get much out of their high school and college education simply thought, I'm going to do this every day, turn this in, and they're going to give me this sheet of paper, and then I graduate. They had a doing mentality. But the people that have real success, they become students. They become learned people. They become people of knowledge. They become that. They don't just do a test. They become people that have the information, people that grow the discipline to study. That is successful graduation. I think our public system fails us in this way, I just got to say. Graduation isn't about something you do. It's about what you become. Get this, Jesus didn't say, hey, disciples, come do disciple work. He said, come be fishers of men. Come be my disciples. He doesn't say, hey, do the salt of the earth work and light on a hill work. He says, no, be salt. Be a city set on a hill. Be that. Not something you do, but something you become. He says that you are a chosen generation. You don't have to, it's not you are trying to do a chosen generation. You're not trying to fulfill. He calls you, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. It's not what you do, it's who you are, God says. It could very well be that God has a higher definition of who you are than you do. You can get away from what you do. Everyone can get away from what they do. You can't get away from who you are. You can go through a time in your life where you really study good and then you really don't study good. You know what that was? That was what you do. But when you learn that discipline, when you learn that courage, when that intestinal fortitude becomes who you are, you don't get away from that. And the next problem comes up, the next situation comes up, you're not in do mode, you're in be mode, and you're ready. It's not what you do, it's what you become. Israel, you aren't called to do. You're called to be. We can focus so much on doing, but graduation, it's about becoming. So Israel spent 40 years doing and not becoming. There's a lot of people that get to their midlife crisis. They get to the end of the road, and they see this lesson that they have done things, but they haven't become things. And they look at the person in the mirror, and they don't like who they've become. And they thought, well, I did all these things. Why haven't I become this person? You listen to me. That is a dangerous place to go. And I'm so glad that you've got a future ahead of you. You don't have to be that way. Listen, Israel should have become the kind of person. They should have become the kind of people who would have graduated across the River Jordan. There really is no excuse for them. God parted this Red Sea. God did this. God showed up. God rained frogs. He rained frogs. God did all this stuff. They really are without excuse. Let me tell you, don't want to be the bearer of bad news. There's good news, bad news with this. But all that you have seen, all that you have witnessed, you in this room, you don't have an excuse either. You need to graduate. We are in the middle of our Modern Family series, and I want us to point something out. The purpose of parenting is to get the next generation to graduate. The purpose of the next generation is to get the next generation to graduate. That's the purpose of parenting. Genesis 2 and 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. I want you to underline a word in your head right there. Leave. The purpose of parenting, this is going to sound harsh, but the purpose of parenting is to get your kids to a place where they can leave. You're coming to that place where you're leaving. Jennifer, you've already done it. And Lauren, you're looking to go on to Sam Houston. We're very proud of you. And Taylor, you're looking in the future to be leaving. Well, let me talk to the parents. If you're a parent in this house, one day you're going to be a parent in this house. You listen, your job as a parent is not to get your kids to like you. It's to help them graduate in life. Not just a high school graduation, not just a college graduation, but to a place where they go to a new level, and you need to be helping them to do that every day. I want you to know that your parents are so proud of you, and they should be, and they aren't the only ones proud of you. I want you to know that this isn't just your graduation, it's also theirs. They have successfully parented you to this moment, and this is their graduation as well. One day, you will find yourself in their situation. I know that's a scary thought. One day, you're going to find yourself in your parents' situation where you are looking forward to bringing a new generation into their graduation. I want you to know that's a very fulfilling moment. I want you to embrace it. How do you know you have successfully parented? As Genesis 2 says, they leave. You grow them to a place where they are ready to leave, where they are ready to start their own family, where they are ready to live their own life. And it's a bittersweet day, but it's so necessary, and it's all a part of the graduation. The success of your parents is tied to your success. Your success and their success, it's all tied together. You did not do this on your own. And wouldn't you say that part of your success is tied to your parents? Each generation's success is tied to the previous generations. You see this in the Bible frequently. It says something like this: so-and-so walked with the Lord and remembered the ways of the Lord. And then you look along, the next generation was blessed. The next generation knew God. The next generation didn't have a hard road to travel because of the first generation. The first generation succeeded, and the next generation, their success was tied to that previous generation. You see it all the time in the Bible. So, and so didn't remember the Lord. You also see this in the Bible. Guess what happens to the next generation? The next generation either has to overcome hardship caused by the previous generation, or they simply sink further into the abyss caused by that other generation. The Bible talks about generational curses. To put it very simply, in these cases, the previous generation made such a bad mistake that it negatively affects the next generation. That's what a generational curse is. It is possible to overcome a previous generation. It's possible. Maybe you're in this place and you didn't have a great previous generation. Let me tell you that no previous generation is perfect. I'm going to say that again. I want to get an amen on it. No previous generation was perfect. There's a lot of people that sit somewhere in life and they don't go any further, but they use the previous generation as an excuse. Well, you know, my mom and dad. Sorry, I hate to tell you, but no generation is perfect. Not one of them. We all have a generation to overcome because none of us are perfect. No generation sets us up perfectly. But let me tell you, it is wonderfully better. It is so much easier to succeed when the previous generation has been a stepping stone for your life and not a stumbling block. Not only are you supposed to walk in the success of your graduation, but you need to look forward and you need to look back to the other generations. You need to look forward. Everything you're doing today, you are graduating in life, not just for yourself, but for a previous generation. And your graduation's not just your own, it's also your previous generation's graduation. And you are tied, you are linked. You should take that very seriously. Your success is going to be tied to your lineage forever. So think generationally. As we're drawing to a close, I want to tell you, there is no retirement. Now, I'm not talking about Social Security problems, although America has terrible Social Security problems. But I want to tell you, there's no retirement. Shelton, would you come? I'm talking about a guy named Joshua. Hang with me. This better not be the only time you graduate. Remember, graduate means to advance to a new level. This should not be the only level you reach in life. Everyone under the sound of my voice, wherever you are on the graduation scale, whatever level you find yourself in life, it doesn't need to be your final graduation. As important as this moment is, it would be sad if this was as far as you go in life. I believe that God has some levels for you that go far beyond a high school, that go far beyond a college. He's got levels for you that go far beyond your job. He's got far more for you than that. Do you believe it? You're in this room today, and it may have been 50 years since you graduated high school. Let me tell you that you too, God still has plans for you to graduate into new things. He has new levels for you. And there is no retirement in the kingdom of God. There is no arrival in God. There's no place where He says, oh, look, you made it. Okay, you've gone far enough. Good job. Even when you get to heaven, I want you to get this. He says, well done, good and faithful servant. And He brings you in and He gives you things to do in heaven. Heaven is not just sitting around not doing anything. He's got new levels for you to graduate into, even in heaven. There's never this moment where you stop growing. You keep growing in grace. You keep adding to your faith. You keep adding to your kindness. You keep adding to your love. So this Joshua guy, let's talk about him. He was Moses' right-hand man. Joshua was born in Egypt as a slave. And he went through the Red Sea. He wandered in Israel for the first 40 years. And he was one of only two people that saw the giants in the land and thought to himself, hey, we aren't grasshoppers. We are who God says we are. And we can take this land. He was one of two people, Joshua, and the other one was Caleb. So he went through the first 40 years, and guess what? Joshua, he wandered with Israel the second 40 years. Do the math. The dude is getting old. 40 plus 40 is 80. He was over 80 years old. His exact age is this. He was 96 years old. when God talks to Joshua. Here's what God tells Joshua. He says, hey, listen, Moses, my servant, he's dead. I took him. Now I want you to, and he like goes right into it. It's this immediate graduation moment. I've taken Moses and I want you to lead Israel. You are the leader. God's telling him who he is. Now wait a second. Wait a second. How old is Joshua?
96.
He's 96 years old. He could have easily said, and he probably thought these things. He probably said, God, I'm old. I'm 96 years old. You really should choose someone younger. You should choose someone that's stronger. You should choose someone that's smarter and faster than I am. I'm not in a good stage of life right now for this next thing you've got for me. I see this new level you've got for me, but I'm not ready for it. In fact, I'm past my prime, maybe 40 years ago, God, but not now. No. God chose 96-year-old Joshua to lead Israel across the River Jordan into the Promised Land. It was Joshua who would be the general of the army that would overtake the giants. He would overtake every nation that was inside the Promised Land. They were already in the land. This guy, this 96-year-old guy, led people into battle. There is no retirement. I don't care what age you are. I don't care what age you're going to find yourself in the future. If you are very young or you are very old, it doesn't matter what stage of life you find yourself, God always has another graduation for you. You're never done graduating, and that's not a bad thing. I'm not telling you have to go 2,160 more days of school. I'm telling you, you're never done graduating. You're going to run into problems, and guess what? You don't just need to solve this problem, you need to graduate from this problem. You don't need to just run into this problem, make it go away. You need to learn from this problem, and you need to go to a new level. Some of us in this place, we have been taking the same test over and over and over and failing. Why? Because we're not graduating. We're not going to that new level. You've never been able to forgive someone. You're failing that. You need to graduate from that. You're always fearful. You need to graduate from that. You've never learned to be happy and full of life. And you've blamed it on your circumstance. I'm telling you, it's not your circumstance. You need to graduate. Look at somebody and say, you need to graduate.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at www.redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.